Welcome. Good morning. Beautiful day, sun shining, birds singing, you know.
Somewhere,
yeah. At the equator, maybe, so. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Okay, why don't we open with a word of prayer, and we'll get to looking here again at the book of Romans. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful book. Lord, it is just chock full of doctrine, Lord, rich doctrine, and just the basics. And Lord, it's just to teach us, you know, the things that you want us to know and the things you want us to believe. And Lord, it's here in this book. And I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. And Lord, that we'll all learn. We'll all grow from this study. And Lord, just help us to be diligent in applying the truths in this book. And Lord, just help us to grow from it. So we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us this morning. And we're just thankful, Lord, for the privilege we have to come and freely worship and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been on the topic of eternal security in this chapter. You know, it seems like we've been on it. Paul, all the way through this book, he hits on a topic, and then he leaves it, and then he comes back to it again. And he always hits it from a little bit different angle. But I think that as the Holy Spirit is leading him to what to write, I think apparently God wants us to get this thing straight. And so we seem like we keep going over and over and over, and I guess we had it in, I don't know, 1 John or 2 John or... Anyway, we did that too. So, okay, just to kind of get up to speed here, some people are talking about eternal security, and there's a do not believe in eternal security. And just a real quick refresher, some people think you get saved by grace, but you're going to stay saved by keeping the law or keeping some rules. That's what they believe. And in fact, Gary spoke to that last Sunday, you know, and talked with him later. And I guess he was a young boy, and the pastor kept talking about you can lose your salvation. Gary said, man, it scared him to death. And he said, you know, I finally, you know, you try and you try and you try and you try, and you leave with that burden. If I sin, I'm going to go to hell. And he said, finally, you just give up. So I just threw my hands in the air and gave up. You know, he said, you can't do it. And it just, and... It was interesting talking with Gary about that. Anyway, and maybe there's some others, because there's some of that teaching goes on in this area. Anyway, and if you break the law or the rules, you're going to lose your salvation. Grace is God's unmerited forgiveness of sins. We do not merit it. We don't deserve it, but that is called grace. If a dying Savior could bring you to God, don't you think a living Savior could keep you there? That is a good question. If God is on our side, who's bigger than God that can pry us out of his hand? Nothing. You know, and there's the verses in there. We're coming to that, you know. Neither height or depth or peril and anything. Nothing's going to be able to separate us from the love of God. He gave us a supreme gift in his Son to redeem us. Not only does God keep those who are his, but he implants a spirit in them and gives them the power by the Spirit to persevere. And there's times in the Bible we read the thing, but you know something about, but whosoever persevereth to the end shall be saved. And I used to look at that verse, I thought, wow, I hope I can persevere. You know, well, come to find out, it's not up to me to persevere. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. He helps us, or he perseveres for us. We're not saved by our own merit. We are not kept by our own merit. It is all God's free gift. It is all of grace. So if you want to attack the security of the believer, you're attacking, first of all, God the Father. You're saying he changed his verdict. God says you're saved. Now, tomorrow he says, no, you're not. He changed his verdict. Secondly, you're attacking Christ. You're saying his work on the cross was inadequate. His high priestly work could not maintain us. You know, Christ isn't enough. And then you're attacking the Holy Spirit and saying that he is inadequate to cause a believer to persevere. Folks, I'm glad it's not up to me to persevere, because I would be lost in a heartbeat again. Again and again and again, okay? Ephesians 1:13 says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee. We are guaranteed. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we are kept by the power of God. We're not just saved, we are kept by the power of God. Does that help you feel secure? It does me. These verses are a blessing. So when Satan hits us with doubt and we begin to wonder whether we're really saved, we can retreat to the promised realities of these passages. Now, to start off with here, I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. And this is a verse that these people that believe you could lose your salvation, this verse they use. And if you just take a look at the verse, it actually implies you can. You know, that you can. It looks that way. But then we'll take a deeper look at it. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. And who'd read that for us? Delbert, okay. Okay, it says in verse 6, if they shall fall away, you know, in other words, just talking about, you, it says right here, you can fall away, you know, that's what it looks like. Anyway, and they use this verse to say you can lose your salvation. They'll point right here. There it is, bold print. Well, let's take a deeper look at it. And I decided I'm going to delve into this verse deeper, you know, and try to get more insight, because I'm scratching, just trying to figure it out. What is this thing really saying? And I guess the more I studied, the more I read, just a lot of theological stuff just started going over my head, and I finally got bogged down with, I wound up being more confused than I was when I started. But basically, if we take a look at that, if they have tasted the word of God, and some say that this, like verse 5, if you tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come, and, by tasting it, they're saying they really didn't swallow it. In other words, they really weren't saved. They just kind of skirted around the edges with salvation. They weren't really saved. Others say it's talking about people that are saved. You know, and this is where I'm, you know, starting to get, whoa. But if we look at this thing, if they shall fall away, in verse 6 here, if they're saved, and if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Okay, let me back up here. If they shall fall away, it is impossible. Okay, where? If they tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, see they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and to put him to an open shame. In other words, it's saying if you fall away, it is impossible to ever bring you back to repentance. That's what that verse says. If you're saved and you lose your salvation, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, you can't save them over again. Seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And I've this last phrase here, they have to crucify the Son of God afresh. And I'm trying to figure out what did that mean. And at this particular point, I'm not sure that I know what that means. I can speculate, and it seems to be like Christ died once. He said, it is finished, it is done. Okay? Now, they're saying if you had your salvation and you lost your salvation, you got to crucify Christ all over again and again and again and again to get saved again and again and again. And that's not going to happen because Christ died once. And so if you have your salvation and you lose your salvation, it's impossible to get saved again. That's what I got out of this. Now, I'm certainly not an expert on this, and I'm struggling right now, folks. Do any of you have some insight on this verse to help me and maybe some of the others out? Does anybody have anything to add to that? Pastor? Okay.
They went through the motions, and verse 5, they tasted, they were made partakers, but they didn't quite, I don't know about that. One of the other views is that if it were possible to fall away, then it's not possible. If they would fall away, it would be possible to get saved again, but they're not going to.
Okay.
But who knows?
Well, that sounds...
One thing we know for sure, it's a warning. It's a warning to believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know we can't lose our salvation, but there are several places in Scripture where we are warned about, we better persevere. We're true Christians. We're going to keep going in our faith. And if we don't, then were we really saved in the first place?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, that sounds good to me. And I've been struggling with this, folks. you're going to see me squirm up here a lot going through this book. We're just getting started on the squirming stuff. Anybody else have anything to add to that? Yeah. Yeah. And it's impossible to get saved again because Christ isn't going to die again. it's a done deal. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I used to read that and I was terrified.
Yeah.
If there was no hope.
Yeah.
Now, and I still struggle with
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that part. But I got written down here too what the pastor said. Notice it says they tasted.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, verse 8 gives an illustration. It might be that illustration helps to interpret what that means. It mentions thorns and briars are rejected. And that may indicate that it's a false profession. They really aren't genuine believers and they're rejected.
Okay. Nancy? I don't know, because I don't know what the end of verse 4. Okay. Okay. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted of the heavenly gift and are made partakers of the Holy Ghost to have tasted the good word of God and powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again. And if we take out all of that other stuff, it's in other words, for it is impossible to renew them again under repentance. You know, if you cut out the in-between stuff there. But to finish that phrase, it's impossible to save them again if you lose your salvation. So all these people believe that you lose your salvation. If you lost it once, that's it. You're done. You're going to hell. There's no renewing you again. That's what this verse says. But they use this verse to teach that you can lose it. Okay. Anything else? Okay, what was that reference again, please? 2 Peter 2, 20-22. All right. Okay, as long as you brought it up, would you read that scripture verse for us, please? Okay. Okay, and that's true. In fact, I heard preachers preach when I was unsaved. They say, you know what? If you're not saved, if you've heard the Word of God, you've been under the sound preaching of the gospel, you know, week after week after week, and I was. I knew the gospel. But anyway, he said something about if you turn your back on it, you'd have been better off to have never heard before. And I mean, that used to just, man, I just petrified. And anyway, because I thought, I'm not saved. I've heard it. Hell's going to be harder for me than it is for the next guy. And I believed it. And I knew it and I believed it. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you for these comments. Anything else before we move on? Okay. And I've said this many times, just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean I've got the answers, folks. I think that's pretty evident. Okay, let's go back to Romans. In fact, I need to see what... See what verses we were covering here. Okay. Well, okay, to start off here, let's just go ahead and begin our reading. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And that's, we covered this, we were into verse 2 last Sunday. But let's go ahead and reread that to get up to speed here. So Romans 5, 1 and 2, who'd read that for us, please? Okay, Jeffrey? Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, it says here, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And again, we're talking about our eternal security. First, we are secure because we have peace with God. That comes in verse 1. Secondly, we are secure because we stand in grace. And the word stand means it's a... you know, it's just affirmed. We're standing. We're living. It's an ongoing thing. And now third, we link in our security. The link in our security is that we are secure because we have been given the hope of glory. We have the hope of glory. To put it another way, God has promised us future glory. God has promised it, okay? He promised. Does God keep his promises? Does he? Yes, he does. Always he does. And therefore, we will enter into that glory in the future. And folks, that is a wonderful feeling. I know what it is not to have it, and I know what it is to have it. You know, I've been on both sides of the fence. I like this side better. Let's stop and draw these first three links together. Number one, the security of the believer is first of all anchored in the past. Christ made peace with God for us in the past. He did that on the cross. He paid the price. So we have a link to the past. And then the security of the believer is anchored and maintained in the present. We stand in grace. And Christ ever lives to intercede on our behalf. And again, this morning, Christ is at the right hand of God. He is interceding for us, for me. You know, and the devil's up there too right now. And he's accusing us. And he will be there, and I mentioned this before, he will be there until mid-tribulation. And in the middle of the tribulation, finally the devil is cast out of heaven. And he hits the ground. And when the devil, in mid-tribulation, that begins the, what they call the Great Tribulation. The last half is worse than the first half. And when he hits the ground, his tires are squealing. I mean, he is getting it after it, and things are going to really get bad. We think things are bad now. We haven't seen anything, folks. Anyway, so Christ is mediating on our behalf. The devil's accused us. Christ says, I paid for that. Jim Gay is innocent. He is clean. He is clean. I paid the price for that sin that he just did. Okay? And then the security of the believer is anchored in the future. For our future glory is guaranteed. We have a promise of future glory. So past, present, and future, we are secure. And so past, present, and future all come together to secure the believer. And again, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, but will raise him up at the last day. John 6. And I just... In looking at that verse, okay, all the Father gives me shall come to me, okay? That's talking about salvation. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, but will raise him up at that last day. Folks, do you see any inference in that verse to where you lose your salvation? No. You come to Christ, you know, the Father draws us to Christ. Christ says he'll not cast him out, and he's going to raise him up at the last day. Folks, the last day, that's talking about the judgment, you know, I mean, or the end, of eternally, okay? And, or the rapture, I guess, is talking about, but we're going to be, there's nothing in these verses that talks about you can lose your salvation. Isn't that great? So the Christian has a secure future. And I hope I'm able to teach this in a way that that everybody can understand it. I hope it makes sense. You know, we're going through scripture after scripture after scripture, and we showed the verse that they use to say you can lose your salvation, and yet, you know, it's not saying that. It's saying if you lose it, it's impossible for you to ever get it back again. If you lose it, you're never going to heaven. So, anyway, we're secure, folks, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Any questions or comments before we move on to verses 3 through 5? Okay. Let's go ahead. Who would read those verses for us? Romans 5, 3 through 5. Somebody else. Somebody other than Delbert. pleased. Gary, okay.
And not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience, experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Okay. Starts off, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. What do you mean by that, Paul? Not only do we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, verse 2, we also glory or rejoice in tribulations. And I'm thinking, whoa. Okay. It's the word for exultant jubilation, for rejoicing and boasting about our tribulations. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, I'm thinking, what are they talking about? You know, this, we don't normally boast and rejoice in our tribulations, do we, folks? But that's supposed to be the Christian's response. I have got a lot of growing to do in that area, in a lot of areas. And the reason that we boast in this, the verse goes on to say, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And so when tribulations come, we don't curse God like the rest of the world. Now, I have done that. I didn't curse him, but I shook my fist at him, okay, as a new believer. Anyway, why are you doing this to me, God? I don't deserve this. We don't question God like other people do. We rejoice in our tribulation because we see in the tribulation a byproduct. All right? Because tribulation worketh patience. Patient endurance. Folks, our tribulations are to strengthen us, to make us grow, to make us become more Christ-like, and not to fall apart when bad things happen to us. And again, as we go through our Christian walk, we should be getting stronger and stronger, learning how to trust the Lord more and more during good times and bad. It's easy to trust Him in the good times. It's tough in the bad times. But as we mature in our Christian faith, we should be maturing. And a lot of us would testify the fact we realize when we have gone through tribulations, we can look back on it and say, I realized that that was a time of spiritual growth in my life. Could anybody say yes to that? Okay, I can. All right. Because tribulation works patient endurance. When we go through trouble, we learn to endure. It strengthens us. The more trouble, the more we learn to endure. And so we can, and when we go into tribulations, we might go and say, Lord, I don't understand this. But Lord, I know that through this trial, you're trying to teach me something. There's lessons here for me to learn. And Lord, help me to learn it. And help me to learn it well. And without the tribulation, we wouldn't have that opportunity to grow. Then we move on to verse 4. And it's talking about, you know, as we go through tribulation, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. In other words, that's a kind of a growing process as we go through these trials. And when it talks about patience and experience, the word experience is another definition of that is character. It builds godly character into our lives when we go through trials. It says, an experience, hope. And what happens? Patience or endurance produces experience. Experience is a word that means to put to the test for the purpose of approving something. You put fire to gold to get the impurities out. You test silver to make sure it's pure. When you have troubles, it produces endurance. It strengthens us. It's like a tall oak tree. Well, I've gave the illustration a lot of times of tomatoes. You know, you plant tomatoes in the seed. If you leave them indoors, they're little old spindly things. They just go straight up, you know. And then when you take them out into the wind, plant them in your garden, If they're tall and spindly, the first wind comes along, breaks them off. They're weak. Okay? But if you start them off early out in the wind and stuff, just the trying and everything else, it makes them strong. They're stronger. They can withstand that. Okay, when you go through trouble and you learn endurance, it builds proven character. Why? Because we learn to trust God in trials, in the stress, and we learn to trust God in the pain. And folks, I think a lot of us have experienced that in our life. It is a growing process. And all of a sudden we realize that we are frail. And Lord, I need you. I'm weak on my own. And people say, well, Christians need a crutch. Yeah, I'm a cripple, Lord. I need a crutch. I need you. All right? And basically, it's an honor to suffer for Christ. For another thing, it's a joy to learn experience and to experience His sustaining power in the middle of suffering. God is with us, Lord, folks, during our trial, during our suffering. He's with us. In fact, it just popped in my mind that thing about, what is it, footprints, you know, walking in the sand, and one set of tracks, two sets of tracks, and, you know, it was during that time that I carried you. It increases our faith. It purges us. It sanctifies us. It strengthens us. That is the purpose of trials. And God is trying to bring out the best in us. We're like a diamond in the rough, and He's kind of chipping away, you know, trying to perfect us more and more. It's like a spiritual weightlifting. It builds our muscles. It raises our level of holiness. And we can draw to the Lord. It's a growing process. We rejoice in tribulation because we know that tribulation works patience, and patience character, and character hope. Excuse me. Why? Because we know no matter what comes, no matter how severe it is, it can never take away our promised glory. And folks, we're looking for that glory. He's promised glory in heaven for us. We look forward to that. Let's turn to James 1:12. You guys probably all thought sooner or later I'm going to get to the book of James on this. James 1:12. Who'd read that for us? Delbert? Okay.
Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of his life. The Lord has promised to those who love him.
Okay. It says here, we will receive the crown of life. And folks, that is a crown. It's either five or six different crowns it's given. And anyway, this is one of them. When you endure tribulations and stuff like that, we'll be given a crown of life. And folks, that's going to be a blessing. I have no idea how it works out, but God does. And it's going to be a blessing if we remain faithful during tribulations and trials. Remain faithful. And okay. Back to Romans, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And hope makes not ashamed. This means hope in God's promises will never be disappointing. If God makes a promise, folks, He's going to keep it. We will not be disappointed. He is faithful. Hope is not going to be ashamed or disappointed when it's put in Jesus Christ. Why? Because it will receive the promised anticipated glory. Because we're at peace with God through Christ's death on the cross, because we stand in grace, we have a promised future glory. And we don't blush to say that that's our hope. Folks, our hope is in Christ. And our hope is someday that there's going to be this shout, that trumpet's going to be sound, and we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord forever. I'm looking forward to that shout, that trumpet, and I'm looking forward to that ride up. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, because hope in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. Even though we are not faithful, aren't you glad that God is? What would it be like if God was not faithful? What would it be like if we couldn't trust Him? You know, he's up one day and down the next. I mean, you know, I'm glad God's faithful, folks. We can count on it. Scripture's filled with promises about the faithfulness of God. We can count on God's promises because it is His nature to be faithful. That's His nature. One area where His faithfulness stands out is in the area of preserving His people into glory. Jesus, we just read a verse that Jesus, He's going to persevere to the end. You know, I'm going to raise Him up. He stands out in the area of keeping us, of securing us in our salvation. He's faithful to do that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Who'd read that for us? Charla? Now back up and read verse 8. Okay. Confirming you to the end. Eternal security, folks. He's going to confirm us to the end, okay? If you're saved, God is going to confirm you to the end. If God promises you eternal life, what is He going to give you? He's going to give you eternal life. God is not like men. God is faithful. Just a question here. It says, now, do you see that your salvation is secure? I hope that I hope this helps for anybody that's struggling, you know, in that area. That salvation is based on faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing else. There's nothing you can do to keep it or lose it. We're saved by God's grace and we're kept by God's grace. We will continue to sin, okay, but our sins have been dealt with on the cross. Paid for. Past, present, and future. Paid for. It is finished. When we sin, we don't lose our salvation. When Christ shed His blood on the cross, our sin debt, past, present, and future, was paid in full. And when we receive Christ as Savior, His righteousness is imputed to us. It's put to our account. Okay? Stamped, saved. When God the Father looks at us, all He can see is the righteousness of Christ. And I've used this illustration over and over again. I ought to come up with a different one. But again, if I had a ballpoint pen, which I don't, but that ballpoint pen represents us. If I put it in this Bible, okay, that's us. And then I fold this Bible up and let this Bible represent the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at us, He doesn't see us. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It has been imputed to our account, put to our account. When God the Father looks at us, all He can see is the righteousness of Christ. We have been sealed. There's a verse says, unto salvation by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed. He's put there as our earnest. In other words, like a down payment for our salvation. It's ours. I hope this is more than feeling to you. I hope you understand it. We need to pray that we might demonstrate our gratitude, not by taking advantage of God's grace. And that kind of goes back to the question the Jews were asking. Well, if we're saved by grace, you know, and we can't, you know, we just go out and live like the devil and know that we're secure. Folks, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, there's been a change in your life. We're going to talk a lot more about that in the near future. But when Christ comes into person, he changes that person. And we're going to study, and I have learned so much about what all, a lot more transpired when I was saved than I realized. And this book of Romans is teaching me so much. But anyway, we need to demonstrate, in our day living, we need to show gratitude to God for saving us. And we should have a burning desire to serve him and live for him. Not to go out and, you know, live it up in sin. That's, you know, that's why Paul says, God forbid. Okay, we need to pray that we might demonstrate our gratitude, not by taking advantage of God's grace, not by saying, if I'm so secure, I'll do whatever I want, but we would have a strong confidence to continue steadfast in desiring to honor him in everything we do. Okay, I just got the signal. Okay, according to that, she said my time is up, but that says it's not. So, my time is up. Clock slow. Okay. It's not my fault, folks. Any questions or comments before we quit? Okay. I hope this is helping. And folks, if you know of anybody that's struggling, you know, with this, again, they could turn these, I think it's being recorded. It was anyway. I think it's recorded every Sunday. And they can tune in and listen to it. And again, if I could share my notes with anybody that, you know, maybe they don't come to this church, a friend of yours or whatever, I could give them a printout of my notes and stuff. So, okay, let's close the word of prayer. Thanks for showing up on this gold day. So, dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this book of Romans. Thank you, Lord, that we are secure. We don't have to be scared to death that we might sin and lose our salvation, spend eternity in hell. Lord, you don't want us to live like that. And 1 John 5:13, but these things have I written that ye may know ye have eternal life. And Lord, we can know. It's not a hope so. It's not a wish. Or Lord, we know. And your scripture, it's full of, the Bible's full of scripture, Lord, it tells us that. And help us, Lord, just to understand it. Lord, I just pray that you'll be the pastor now as he brings a morning message. speak to us, Lord, through him. And Lord, and just help us, Lord, just to learn and to grow and to apply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.